If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-523-9112. That's 800-523-9112. Again, 800-523-9112.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
Yes, indeedy do. Welcome into tomorrow. I am Dave Graveline. Delighted to have you here for the weekend of March 2nd, 2018. Always using the Friday dates going into the weekend, so now you know. It's this weekend show. I think I mentioned I'm Dave Graveline in the control room, Horatio and Erasmo here in the studio. That's an odd name. How do you spell that?
You spell it happy birthday, Dave Graveline.
Oh,
you're
thanks.
You're an old guy.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Thanks a lot, yeah. Then, I guess, is what I meant to say. Yeah, my birthday weekend. Mm-hmm. Another year around the sun.
I'm sorry, you pay me, so you know I couldn't afford to get you a cake this year.
Yeah, true. Now I want cake, darn it. An ice cream cake, too. That's my absolute most favoritest thing with the crunchies. You know, got to have an ice cream cake.
But yeah, by the way, I'm Chris Graveline.
Oh, that's what we were trying to get out when it became a humming thing.
Yeah.
Tech news and commentary in this first segment. So yes, thank you. Happy birthday to me. All I want for my birthday is our listeners to participate on the show.
Because then you send out the goodies.
Yeah, how does that work? I don't get the gifts. I send them out. Well, our prize closet staff does, but you know, you get the idea. Is that I provide the gifts for you to call in during my birthday weekend or any time. And feel free to say, hey, happy birthday, old man, and I would like to have one of these prizes. And we'll do our best. And I'll blow out my candle or something.
And you know what? You don't look a day over 80.
Oh, thanks so much. Well, that's nice. Since I'm 100, I guess that's a compliment.
Yeah.
Tech news and commentary, and then we will get to those aforementioned calls. But be sure to join us on the program because he's right. Call in, win stuff. Good mantra to live by because we have a whole bunch of cool stuff. Wait till you hear the items we've added this week. You definitely want to call in and participate on the program to win some of these cool things. What you got for us?
Amazon is now in the doorbell business after spending over $1 billion to buy Ring, makers of video doorbells.
$1.1 billion they spent to buy Ring. And, of course, we've talked about Ring ever since they've been out, the video doorbell folks that really own a gigantic portion of the market. In fact, in 2017, they captured 97% of video doorbell sales in the U.S., according to NPD Group. I mean, that's pretty good market share. Nobody else can claim almost 100% market share.
Well, now Amazon can.
Yeah, well, but that's changing. But now, mind you, we talked about this on the show, too. Amazon, just 2 months ago, bought a similar startup, Blink, which also makes video doorbells and home security cameras and systems. I smell another monopoly brewing.
So when you can't compete, buy the competition.
Yeah. And Jeff Bezos of Amazon is doing just that. And, oh, here's $1 billion. We'd like your company. All right. You can offer me a lot less than that and buy the show if you want. But the fact that we speak honestly, chances are he won't. You know, he also owns the Washington Post, among many other things. So, opinions, there's a bunch of them. Yeah. Apple's iCloud, are you ready for this, is really Google. Did you know that?
I did not.
Yeah, this week, Apple confirmed that it does use Google's cloud storage as its own iCloud to store your data. In addition to Apple, Google's public cloud customers include the likes of PayPal, Snap, Spotify, and Kroger. We don't have Kroger here, but I think they're a big grocery chain, aren't they?
Yes.
Almost everywhere else, among many other companies. Apple is said to be looking to boost iPhone sales with the introduction this year of three new models to appeal to a wider group of consumers. Apple plans to roll out its largest iPhone to date for those seeking more of a phablet experience. So it'd be in between the iPhone and an iPad. They're going to have a phablet kind of thing, as well as an upgrade to the iPhone 10 and a model less expensive than the 10. Because who has $1,000 to spend on a phone? A lot of people. But there's a lot of people that don't, and yet they want a new phone. So rumor has it they're going to have all those three coming out. And we'll, of course, keep you informed, but save some money. Either get the phablet. Who knows how much that's going to cost? Probably more than the 10 now to be a bigger phone, bigger display, etc. And then upgrade, and then one less expensive than the current iPhone 10, a.k.a. X.
Yeah. So we have some new drivers on the roads here in Miami.
Well, yeah.
You know, when I say drivers, I mean cars without one.
That's what you mean.
Yeah. Ford has announced that it has chosen Miami-Dade County to be the first large-scale test site of its self-driving vehicle fleet. The cars will be traveling throughout the county to test their readiness to handle a challenging urban environment like Dade County and give residents a sense of what the future of transit could be like. Though they will be controlled by a computer, the cars will feature, they say, a human safety driver as a backup.
Initially.
Yeah. Despite Miami's notorious traffic, the Magic City was chosen over about nine competitors, they say, because of its weather, its variety of driving environments, from its densely packed downtown to the more residential suburbs, and the receptiveness of city officials to the new technology.
Interesting. And anyone who knows South Florida, whether you're listening because you live here like we do in the Miami area, or at least are aware of South Florida, I have to wonder if they know about Hialeah.
Yeah.
And if they're going to allow their self-driving cars to go into the town that's two towns just south of us and survive.
Well, here's the thing. You know, I'm a human driver, and I won't go into Miami unless I'm called for, like, jury duty or something.
Downtown, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point. So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, and they've apparently teamed up with Domino's Pizza and are using their fleet to also deliver pizzas down here.
Now, see, that's just a cheap way to have to get Domino's more business, I think, because Who wouldn't want a driverless pizza delivery guy?
Right.
You don't have to tip a car.
Exactly. You know, but for that, they should have a robot in the car that will at least bring the pizza to my front door, because at least when I had a human delivery guy, he would bring the pizza to the door.
Well, that's true.
Now I've got to walk out to the car. And,
oh, my gosh,
open
yeah.
the window, reach in and get the pizza.
Yeah. Actually burn up about 10 calories of the thousands you're about to consume.
I mean, if I order pizza, it's because I'm too lazy to get up and cook anyway. So if I'm going to get up, might as well just go to the kitchen and cook dinner.
How soon are they going to be delivering Domino's with these Fords with no drivers?
They say soon.
I wonder if they're going to make the safety driver, who's apparently going to be sitting behind the wheel but not touching it unless he has to or she has to, if you're going to make them bring the pizza to the door.
Yeah. I mean, at least put some, like, compressed air cans or something in there so that, you know, I can open the door, they just lower the window and shoot the pizza towards me.
And you stand in the doorway with your mouth open.
Yeah.
Got it. Thank you. Uh-huh. Oh, my gosh. Well, that paints an interesting picture, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Global sales of smartphones totaled $408 million in the fourth quarter alone in 2017, down 5.6% from the year-ago period and the first-ever quarter-to-quarter decline, that according to a report from Gartner. However, for all of 2017, sales were up overall 2.7%, with Samsung the top seller of smartphones, not iPhone, not Apple, Samsung. The top seller of
for
smartphones.
Now, but they pass each other all the
they
time.
They do, and it's just that kind of constant competition. But, yeah, I guess once they got over their phone with that, you know, feature, undocumented blow-up feature, and got into the other models subsequently, they got back up there to be beating out Apple again.
Mm-hmm.
We shall see. And now, of course, the new news from Barcelona about the S9. We'll talk about that, too, later.
Yeah, we have to wait and see if that one's going to catch fire.
Yeah.
From the I can't believe our society has made it necessary to have the law like this department, a Southern California city posted a notice on its website reminding residents of a new ordinance outlawing a dangerous behavior, texting while walking.
It figures that California would have to make a law to tell you that you can't text while you walk outdoors.
Yeah. So the city of Montclair posted a notice on its website informing residents that an ordinance took effect at the beginning of this year, barring pedestrians from looking down at their phones while crossing a street. The ordinance doesn't just ban texting. Residents are also not allowed to talk on the phone or have headphones in both ears while crossing the road.
Well, that's a safety issue. I get that. Just like in most states, though, most people act like they don't know this. But if you're driving with headphones on, it's very most likely against the law where you are. Mm-hmm. And you cannot do that. And the reason for that, again, is safety. You have to be able to hear sirens and horns and people yelling or something of that sort. So that part I get. But to have to make it a law is really pathetic.
Yeah, that is sad.
And of course, what do people say that are saying, no, I'm just using Google Maps to walk to the arena, trying to find a store, or that's why I'm looking down at my phone. Oh, sorry. Here's a ticket. Mm-hmm. Do they say how much the fines will be?
Did not say.
That'll be interesting to find out.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes. So now, if you're one of our many California listeners, I want to know your opinion, or any listener for that matter, but especially if it might affect you. Is that a concern you have, or do you agree? And you'll certainly abide by the law because you are law-abiding. See how clever that is? Or do you think this is ridiculous and you'll just vote out whatever city council people made this law next time around and then get it reversed or something?
I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's
personally
a little silly. Carl in Rapid City, South Dakota, listens to the free Into Tomorrow podcast. Hello there.
I've been using Smart Playlist on my iTunes for many years, primarily to keep track of play counts and how recently I've listened to the music. And I was wondering, what percent of iTunes users even bother with Smart Playlist? And the second part of this one is, if I was foolish enough to rent my music from Apple Music or Spotify, would there be any controls like Smart Playlist?
Well, first of all, Carl, we don't really know what percentage of iTunes users use Smart Playlists, but we suspect it couldn't be too many of them, since Apple never ported them to iOS. That's a big deal when you consider that iTunes isn't a necessary evil to use an iPhone, and far fewer people are using it these days. Now, having said that, they are a good way to have fresh playlists without constantly having to update them manually.
Yeah, and if you were to rent your music from Spotify, there wouldn't be Smart Playlists the way you use them on iTunes. If you were to rent your music from Apple Music, you could use Smart Playlists, but you'd only be able to create them on computers, not on phones. Now, we have read reports of issues when creating Smart Playlists that draw from other playlists that contain Apple Music songs, but you can create a Smart Playlist that pulls from your Apple Music library without issues.
Do you create – you're a big music fan. Do you create Smart Playlists?
Ever since I signed up for Amazon Music Unlimited, I don't even use iTunes for music.
And what is a Smart Playlist?
Well, apparently you set rules up in iTunes, and it creates the playlists from your music based on, I guess, the parameters that you put in.
So like what Carl's talking about then is if you want to hear new music and not so much repeat of other stuff that's been out for a while, that would be one of the parameters, and therefore you'd get more new music and less repetition, right. repetition.
Yeah, and with the Amazon Music, what I do, it's the same, similar with Pandora, Spotify, the other things, and, they have sort of stations that you can put, or you put in a song and it'll then play similar songs, and you can do thumbs up or thumbs down, so as you go and input more, it, I guess, starts to learn what you like and kind of creates a playlist for that. What I do. But
that's an early artificial intelligence sort of thing, the thumbs up, thumbs down idea. Say, it might be that you like this artist or that you like this beat or that you like the lyrics, or it could be any number of things, but it starts to learn your habits and then offers up similar music. Mm-hmm. So interesting. So what do you think? If you got some input for Carl and maybe you have a Smart Playlist, what works well for you? Let us know at the following phone number, which works from anywhere in North America, or you can Skype into it if you'd like from anywhere around the world.
800-899-INTO. That's 800-899-4686.
And when you get a chance, we'll meet you at intotomorrow.com.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-461-3151. That's 1-800-461-3151. Again, 1-800-461-3151.
What smart home products do you use around your house? What would you like to have that you don't already? Use the audio option on the free Into Tomorrow app or call us at the following toll-free number anytime. Might be the old-fashioned way, but it still works really the best, actually, because you've always got access to a phone. And you can do it anytime, 24/7, whenever you have a digital dilemma, a question, a comment, a concern, help for another listener. Maybe you just want to share your favorite app. We send you prizes for all of the above when we hear you on the air. It really is that easy. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline. Do you subscribe to our once-a-week tech newsletter?
Of course.
I wasn't really talking to you.
Oh, sorry.
I was talking to our wonderful listeners out there.
Well, it's my birthday weekend, so I'm answering everybody.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, if you don't, or if you have a friend that wants to, stop by intotomorrow.com. There's a box that'll pop up asking for your email address. You put your email address in there. We'll send you a confirmation that basically says, hey, are you sure you want to get this? And, of course, you do because you signed up. Click the link and you're in.
It's a double opt-in program, and that's what that means, is that you will get a link back or an email back that says just click the link and you're in, because we don't spam anyone. So, like, you know, you might want to give me a birthday gift. I'd love it to say, here's a whole bunch of friends that I signed up for your tech newsletter. It's not going to work that way, because when they get that email, they're going to say, I didn't sign up for this. Now, some may say, oh, yeah, sure, Dave Show, we know them. And then they'd sign up. That's great. But most people would go, I don't know what this is. I didn't sign up. And because not only do we not spam anyone, we also don't share your email address with anyone. But each week in our jam-packed tech newsletter, among other things, we tell you such things as who's on the show that week. And that's very easy and certainly something you want to know, guest-wise and so forth. But we also share some tech news. Go figure. In the tech newsletter, there would be some tech news.
That's a very novel idea.
We thought about that and decided at some point to add tech news, like from the very beginning. Some thoughts. These are things to just make you smile. We have a lot of people that say they go first to the thoughts, and they get the smiles out of the way, and then they go back and see who's on the show and see what prizes we have available and that kind of stuff.
Well, the rest of the tech news that it makes you smile, too.
Well, of course it does, but some news is typically not always smileable, so I guess some people might hesitate in that sense. But that's why we have some thoughts, which, by the way, you contribute to thoughts, too, and we publish your thought, and that can be fun. But Beth also does a tech tip every week on the tech newsletter. You have any idea what this week's is all about?
This week's, it's all about your digital memories, including picture books, videos, and a whole lot more.
There you go. So you want to check that out. If you don't already subscribe, please do. Again, just visit us at intotomorrow.com. That little box will pop up and enter your email address. And then be sure to click that link. And then voila, you will be among our tech newsletter recipients from that moment on, once a week.
Yes, and you want to stay tuned in a few minutes. We're going to be joined with Neil Patel. He's the founder and CEO of Print the Future. They make printing 3D printing ideas on demand a reality via a network of Print the Future stores worldwide.
Yeah, they'll print furniture for you and all sorts of, or little things, whatever you need.
I don't know if I would trust a chair that I printed.
Yeah, whether or not it would sustain your weight, you mean?
Yeah, or my design abilities, too.
Yeah, that too. All right.
Jump aboard the time machine.
You got mail.
Time to head into yesterday with This Week in Tech History.
History.
Here's Chris.
Oh, that's you.
That's me.
Yeah.
This week in 1865, Dave Graveline was born.
Yeah. Thanks. So 1865?
Yeah.
As we circled the wagons.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe not that long ago, but close.
Yeah. It was in the last couple of millennia.
Let's put it this way. Did your first TV have color?
No.
Okay.
Well, it did. It had sort of a wood grain finish surrounding
it
too.
Did it show a color
picture? No.
Okay.
No. Thanks.
In 1876, this week, Alexander Graham Bell.
Happy birthday to me.
Yeah. Alexander Graham Bell rang up a patent for his invention, the telephone. See what I did there?
I see that. It was quite humorous.
Yeah. It's an invention, incidentally, that almost bankrupted his company in the beginning. But I think he probably ended up doing well for himself.
In the long run, yeah.
In 1877, just 1 year later, Emil Berliner, the man behind so many inventions, came up with a little thing called the microphone.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Yes. And it's a good thing, too, because the Bell system, which was run by Alexander Graham Bell, was in desperate need of something to save it from financial ruin and to help the progress of the telephone.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
A little something like a microphone might help the telephone.
Yeah. In 1979, this week, Philips demonstrated the compact disc publicly for the first time.
Cool.
I still remember what those things are. You know, kids nowadays have no idea.
I know. Try to explain cassette to your 5-year-old. You did, actually.
I did.
And he just was amazed.
He just looked at me and said, when you were a kid, you couldn't just tell your phone what song to play? No.
No.
And this week in 1981, the ZX81, a pioneering British home computer, was launched by Sinclair Research and would go on to sell over 1.5 million units around the world. That's our look back at This Week in Tech History, brought to you by IFA in Berlin, the global innovation show since 1924 for consumer tech and home appliances, and by IFA Next, the launchpad for innovations. Get more info at ifa-berlin.com.
Now, we know that you have a favorite app, the kind of thing that you would share with family and friends or coworkers. Let us know what that might be these days on iOS, on Android, whatever, and we'll send you prizes.
Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline is brought to you by StreamGuys, a leading provider of live and on-demand streaming media services, including IPTV, multi-platform mobile device streaming, custom hardware and streaming deployment, dedicated server products, turnkey subscription services, and even custom statistics and alerts. And with live 24/7 tech support, an experienced tech is always available to assist you with all of your streaming needs. Affordable, reliable, scalable, StreamGuys has been providing quality streaming media services to the global marketplace since 2000.
You know, every day in almost every way, this digital revolution is certainly changing our lives. Well, we here at Into Tomorrow are here to hopefully make it easier for you, more productive, more fun, more interesting, certainly. Let us handle any digital dilemma that you may have. I'm Dave Graveline. We're happy to help you anytime that you've got a question about anything involving consumer tech. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, our lines are open. We'll get you on the very next show, and it's fun to participate. Jot down the number I'm about to give you, or even better, use the audio option on the free Into Tomorrow app. Just search those two words in your favorite app store, Into Tomorrow, and then participate by hitting the audio option. And then you record a question, make a comment, help another listener, share with us your favorite app these days. Heck, you can even share some tech rage. We'll bleep you if necessary. Don't worry. It makes it more fun that way. And just listen to it. If it's what you want to hear, what you want to say, then you just hit the button, comes right to the studio. It's that easy and it's fun. Or you can do it the old-fashioned way because it still works anywhere in North America. It's toll-free. I tested again last week while I was in China. It still works if you Skype into us or use Wi-Fi calling. It's awesome. 1-800-899-INTO. You can do it from anywhere in the world. 1-800-899-4686. Our next guest is helping to make 3D printing ideas on demand a reality using a network of Print the Future stores that they're setting up worldwide. The founder and CEO of Print the Future is Neil Patel. Neil, welcome Into Tomorrow. How you doing?
Not too bad, and thank you for having me on the show.
It's a pleasure. One of the things that certainly caught our attention is that, among other things, you're talking about promoting 3D printing your furniture. And I thought, okay, that's different. I hadn't heard that, because right away you think in terms of small items, you know, maybe somewhat larger items. I've never seen something big enough to sit on. So tell me about how consumers can use this new technology.
Well, we, in March this year, had a pop-up store in Times Square, New York, for 30 days, where we were literally printing large-scale furniture while you waited. And nearly 50% of the store that you came into, and that included a lot of the seating, was 3D printed in the store while people watched.
Cool. I mean, I'm thinking that's awesome. You know, we've talked about things like, you know, in the future, perhaps hopefully slightly into tomorrow, if you will, a little plug for our own show, that we'd be able to 3D print cars and just all sorts of stuff, or at least most of the pieces for things that you would need. But right away, you tend to think in terms of perhaps not terribly comfortable. You're not 3D printing cushions. It's generally plastic materials. So you've still got to use other materials, I'm guessing.
Yeah, you do. And I think when you generally think of 3D printing, you think very nerdy. And Print the Future's kind of goal is to make it trendy. And by trendy, I mean where, you know, you can actually use objects that you 3D print in your home. Mm-hmm. And seating, vases, tabletop, tableware, there's all sorts of possibilities, because large-scale 3D printing now is possible. So when you think of comfort, and yes, materials as resin or plastic are still mainstream, there's printing in wood, people are printing homes in less than 24 hours. And when we printed the chairs for the store, they were, without a cushion, extremely comfortable, because you can imagine you can make the way the chair is designed comfortable with the way the seating is developed, and it doesn't have to be just squares.
Yeah, true.
So, we printed some furniture where you could actually create cushions for it to make it even more comfortable. But the possibilities today of 3D printing is beyond just a desktop printer at home. Large-scale 3D printing is actually a reality today.
That is true. And one thing that you didn't mention that I've experienced and actually ate some of the results are 3D printing of food. You know, I've had 3D printed cookies and things of that nature. So, yeah, there's so many things now that you can, in fact, print in 3D. You know, we're getting closer and closer to all sorts of things that we've seen over the years in Star Trek, I guess, and everything else.
Yeah, very true. And, you know, my first experience personally of 3D printing was when I went to the dentist. The current crown that I've got in my mouth was actually, so I sat in the chair, you know, the dentist kind of informed me I'm here for the procedure, mm-hmm. and scanned my mouth. And I got up thinking, oh, I have to wait 10 days, 2 weeks before he gets my tooth back. He said, well, where are you going? He said, come and have a look. And he was very, very excited, because he was 3D printing the tooth that's in my mouth. So my process, instead of taking the procedure, taking 2 weeks, I went in a few hours and had my crown done for my mouth.
Nice.
And that's when I realized, thinking, if it's possible for our body, what are the possibilities that we can do for our experience around us in life?
Yeah, very good point. And hopefully in the long run, probably not quite yet, it should end up saving us some money too.
You're correct. And certainly timing is everything. And 3D printing is getting cheaper and faster, and more innovation on material is happening. So at some point, you know, the Moore's Law will apply here, and it'll be cheaper and faster to get some furniture from a Print the Future store than it would be to drive to IKEA, bring it back and unpack it. And here's the beauty. I think Print the Future possibly could save a lot of those situations there where you're trying to put an IKEA furniture together. This is generally one print. There's no assembly required.
Oh, good. You just need a big enough vehicle to bring it home.
then we plan to deliver free.
So, oh, well, there you go. So now, can you actually then, in one of these stores that you're talking about setting up around the world, actually watch our furniture, in this case, being printed?
Yes. So the brand experience, you know, the one sentence strategy that I explain to everybody is, we want to be the Kinko of 3D printing with a Starbucks experience.
That's cool.
And, yeah, and the store experience is going to be for two types of personas. One is, I'm a customer, I've got a great idea. You would go to the design lab and you would sit down and design with our industrial designer, and then effectively be able to print. The minute you hit print, you would get a unique URL to your inbox, so you can actually watch a live stream of your print.
Nice. That's pretty cool. So there's some options there that make it even more exciting. Than one of the things that I noticed you talk about on your website, can I really take something that I don't like and have it made into something else? It's like, okay, yes, I've got some materials here, and for some reason it doesn't fit in, or it's from the X or whatever, and right. I want to just turn it into something else?
Absolutely. So recycling, we kind of say design, print, recycle are the three pillars of our business. And recycling is going to be a huge part of 3D printing. Certainly, if you think of materials going solid to liquid, then, reverse engineering that process is an absolute reality.
Awesome. Now, you talk about the in-store experience as well, and being able to come and get something made right away, or buy something that you've perhaps already made. Do you have stores currently? And if so, where are they?
Our first store is going to be here in Vancouver. We already have the store here, and it's getting ready for a refit, where it will have four large-scale industrial printers to design and print a meter by meter, and in multiple different materials and processes, and then a number of smaller machines for the smaller items, including a finishing room, a design lab, and an education room, where we're looking to educate teenagers all the way up to somebody who's retired and may have an idea to bring a product to life. For me, I believe that the platform that we're building, which we describe as an omni-channel platform, which means there's an in-store experience that's consistent with an online experience, will allow anybody with an idea to create it into reality, and then ultimately also sell their great invention or idea to millions of people who want to buy it around the world to print in any one of our store locations.
Well, that's pretty. Now, did you 3D print your store?
We're not there yet, but we're planning to take a number of printers next year to India and actually 3D print a house.
Nice.
That's our goal.
Nice. That's pretty awesome. So when will technology be available and some of your 3D print the future stores be available in other cities? How can we find out if there's one near us or planned?
So we're going to Vancouver's first, then we're off to New York to open our second location. And then locations after that, we're going to look for people to vote for bringing the Print the Future store to their city. Mm-hmm. And they'll be able to vote for that at printthefuture.today as we start to scale locations. We want to kind of bring stores to cities via demand. But there is a huge community of design enthusiasts, to interior designers, to architects, to a number of people who are really interested in learning and using 3D printing.
And I would imagine perhaps some potential maybe franchisees. Can somebody do that with you? If I want to open a store here in Miami, my town, and I have the money, good luck with that. But if I want to say, hey, I want to have a Print the Future, I might call it Print into Tomorrow store. But anyway, and be able to do something, can I do that? Or can folks around the world say, hey, I'm in?
We've certainly discussed the possibility of franchising the brand as we scale. So certainly if anyone is interested, we would be open to the conversation. But our real focus is going to be to make sure we get our first half a dozen stores open in the next 12 to 18 months. Mm-hmm. So we can actually learn from that experience before we would ultimately even consider giving somebody a franchise. So
that's a good idea, because then you keep control of your brand and make sure it's done properly. And, it does make sense, absolutely. Before McDonald's and Burger King and Wendy's just set it out to the world, they had their own stores for a while,
Agreed.
So it makes perfect sense. And I didn't even know that .today was a new top-level domain, because I thought that was interesting. But yes, printthefuture.today will get you to Neil's site. You'll see what he and his team are up to, how you can vote for a store to be in your area. So by all means, do that. They've got blogs. They got talk about their teams. And of course, you can invest as well because this is the future. It is 3D printing into tomorrow. Neil, I wish you well, and thank you for spending a few minutes with us. Keep us in touch, keep in touch with us. It's a lot more than just 3D printing our Into Tomorrow logo anymore. There's you know, that's what we did years ago, and it was so amazing. Wow, cool, look at that, check it out. But as you say, now we're just doing so many more things on a larger scale that maybe one day we'll 3D print a studio, too.
Absolutely. We will keep in touch, and thank you very, very much for having me on the show.
It's my pleasure, Neil. Printthefuture.today. We'll get you there, too, when you visit us at intotomorrow.com. I'm Dave Graveline. We continue bringing you further Into Tomorrow right here on the Advanced Media Network.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services
at 800-610-9070. That's 800-610-9070. 800-610-9070.
Wearable technology is certainly beginning to take the fashion industry by storm, but is it sustainable, do you think? I'm Dave Graveline. The Into Tomorrow team and I want to know what you think. Your opinion counts more than anyone else. Would you spend more to be fashionable with wearable tech? Or do you want it to just serve its purpose, like a watch or a fitness tracker or something of that nature, or even earbuds or otherwise? What do you think about wearable technology? Let us know, won't you?
This portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you in part by HughesNet, high-speed satellite internet available where you live or work. Visit HughesNet.com.
Marianne in Lewis, Delaware. Welcome Into Tomorrow.
Now, here's one you probably haven't heard for a while. I have a very old telephone. I think it's pronounced Kyocera. I had gotten it originally through Virgin, and I think Sprint now has taken over their calls or whatever. And I would really like to reactivate that thing. The battery lasted weeks, and I could use it in office buildings and everything and make telephone calls. However, my current iPhone, I can't even use it for my home because I don't get a signal. So I would love to have this as a backup, and I was wondering if that is possible.
Well, Marianne, it's a good question. We've actually had several people wonder these days when they dig out an older phone and say, wow, this thing actually worked as a phone. And I loved it. And again, battery life, amazing battery life on some of those. But it's not looking great for your chances of getting your old Kyocera phone back on Virgin. The reason we say that is because Virgin Mobile has switched to a new marketing strategy, and they're exclusively selling iPhones these days. They may still consider activating your old phone if you call and ask, but if this phone's battery lasted weeks, well, of course, it's not a smartphone. That's a problem because if all of Virgin's new plans are geared towards smartphones, you'll probably end up paying for data on a phone that can't even really take advantage of it. You lose nothing by calling them and asking or pop into a store and ask, but be prepared for a no. The good news, though, is that there are other companies that still do deal with feature phones, so you may be able to get a phone like the one you used to use, just not on Virgin.
Now, Marianne, when you say very old phone, I'm guessing you have a Kyocera, Kona, or Marble. Now, these phones and the ones that came before them used 2G and 3G technology to talk to the cell towers. And therein lies the problem. 2G is being shut down by mobile operators, and they have hinted that 3G isn't necessarily on the chopping block, but the technology won't be getting any love for use with cell phones as time progresses. It's used in many vending machines, for example. So don't lock yourself into old tech. All four major carriers still offer simple dumb phones. As for your iPhone, ask your current provider to help you turn on Wi-Fi calling, which uses your home Wi-Fi internet to make and receive calls instead of their network in areas where the cell signal is weak.
Yeah. Hopefully that'll help you, Marianne, but who knows? Because I get it. We just sometimes we really can't live not only in the past, but using past older technology. And there are lots of reasons for that. So I'm hoping that that would be of some help to you. Hey, want to win prizes, though, and let us hear you on the air like Marianne and many others? You don't shake your head. Yes, you can't win prizes.
You
work here. It doesn't work that way. Unless you want me to fire you, and then you could be a listener and call in and win.
No, in fact, I get to get teased because we get to play with them, and so we see what we think, but then we have to box them back up and send them to the listeners.
Yep. Like if you would like any of these particular prizes you're about to hear us mentioning, no promises, no guarantees. But do tell us when you call in, and we'll do our best to get that item to you. Like, for example,
from Jabra, we've got some Elite 65T Bluetooth earbuds.
OMG, those are amazing. We first saw them introduced in Vegas a month or so ago, and they're so light and so great sounding. Oh, you really want to win a pair of those. How about if you happen to be an occasional drinker of adult beverages, or know someone who is, from Backtrack, they've sent us several C6 keychain breathalyzers to allow you to easily estimate your alcohol level, and these things will tell you when it would be safe to drive.
From Otherworld Computing, we've got dual HDMI Thunderbolt display adapters.
My first sketch, you've got to stay tuned today, I believe, coming up next hour. Chris's son Cameron, 5 years old, is going to do an entire segment on the My First Sketch 12-inch LCD sketch pad for kids. And we've got several for giveaway. He got to evaluate and review one. He's going to tell you all about it coming up next hour. And several others, I'm going to tease you. There's some things we have not even mentioned yet on the program at all, ever, that you want to stay tuned for. And all you need to do is call in and win. Good mantra. Call in, win stuff. 800-899-INTO.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. Call 1-800-958-6699. That's 1-800-958-6699. Again, 1-800-958-6699.
More devices, more screens means more opportunities for content owners to move more entertainment material to you as a consumer. Well, what content are you looking for? And are you watching less actual TV these days? Well, we want to know what's happening. And do let us know. 800-899-INTO.
Before the break, we talked about some of the prizes we were giving away, and we want to tell you about some more.
Yeah, well, we'll show you on the radio. How about this? Look at this from Gourmia. It's an easy espresso, multi-capsule espresso machine. Wow.
It'll keep you awake.
Yep.
From McCallie, we've got a magnetic CD slot phone mount for your car. In case you don't listen to CDs anymore, you can at least mount your phone in the CD slot.
Oh, so that's how you would do that.
Yes.
You
just at least make that slot useful for something. Nobody listens to CDs anymore, so make that slot useful.
And all you need to do is mention it when you call in. We'll do our best to get it to you. 800-899-INTO, intotomorrow.com.